Dude. Yeah, pumped to be here. Like Levi said, I got convicted about this 2 years ago now when I started thinking about my family. And so there's my family, my wife, Britt. We have a daughter, Campbell, and son, Easton. She's 5, he's 3. And we were sitting around our dinner table every night, and I would just notice I would be on my phone, my wife would be on her phone, and just the conversation was not as good as it could have been. So I started to get convicted, hey, what if I don't do anything about this? And this continues for the next 13 years until my daughter graduates and goes off to college. And so I started doing some research, but it reminded me of when I got my first phone. You guys remember your first phone? What was it? Was it iPhone? Razor? I heard Razor. BlackBerry? Remember when BlackBerries were cool? That was cool. Here was my first phone. The Nokia. It was, did anyone have this one? Couple of you, yes. Man, kindred spirits. I love this phone because everyone did because of this game. Snake. It was amazing. incredible graphics. You know, you just however long you can get that snake, just keep playing over and over. And so in 2007 though, everything started to change because this thing came out. It was the first year of the iPhone. And it's changed our world ever since 2007. You know, now we live in what we call the information age. You know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, maybe their life revolved around farms and agriculture, farming society. Maybe Industrial Revolution, all that happened, a lot of people's lives started to revolve around factories, working in factories. Now our lives revolve around our phones, around a tiny 4-inch screen. It's changed everything. I want you to think about your day. And so count your answers, just kind of on your own. Count how many of these things are true for you. Use your phone as your alarm clock. You scroll through while walking to class or walking somewhere. You've used your phone to cheat on a test. You've taken a picture of your food in the last week. You listen to music on the phone at the gym with your AirPods. You look at your phone when you're on the toilet. You sleep with your phone beside your bed. How many answers did you get? All of them. Most of them. Like all of those. So look at this. From the moment you wake up, the first thing you see all throughout your day, on your way to class, on your way to work, while you're eating your meals, while you're using the restroom, and when you lay your head down on the pillow at night, every aspect of your life is consumed by this device. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, what is this doing to us? What's happening to us with our whole life consumed by this machine? And so it can feel like we're a slave to this, and sometimes it controls every aspect of what we do. Here's the premise I want to start with in this workshop is our time matters to God. The days, the hours, the minutes that you spend matter to God. They have an eternal impact, whether you use them for good, whether you use them for sin, whether you use them in a distracted way, our time matters to God. It's significant. And we want our life and our time to be meaningful. We want to live significant lives. And God wants to help us to do that. So look what God says. This is Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That word, make the most of every opportunity, it was a business word that they used back in the day. It means to make a killing, to make the best use of your time. That's what God's telling us to do, and that's what we want. We want to make the best use of our lives for God and His kingdom, and to do that, He says, we have to be very careful. We have to look carefully at the way that we spend our time. So I want to look carefully at the way we spend our time. So you guys are going to do this with me. So everyone pull out your phones. Oh no. I hear the sighs already. You know what we're doing. We're going to screen time. Click here. Click on see all activity. We're going to have a little competition. Click down here. Look down here at your most used apps. Mine's Twitter, so that ages me, obviously. So here's what's funny. you can see online, 2 hours and 1 minute daily average, down 40% from last week. This is this week, but I was like prepping this breakout. My phone usage goes down 40% because I'm convicted by this. All right, who thinks they're the winner? Who's got the most? Can anyone beat 3 hours? Okay, can anyone beat 4 hours? 5 hours? 6 hours? 7 hours? Okay, we got a couple. What are they? Can you beat 8 hours? Okay, 7, 8? How much? 8:23. Can anyone beat 8:23? Okay, hey, come up after. I'm going to buy you a book. We're going to go to the bookstore after this. So come up after, give me your name, we'll go get a book together. Man, we have to look carefully. So, hey, you're not alone. They've done studies. People are spending, on average, between 2.5 and 8 and hours and 23 minutes a day on their phone. That's normal. You're touching it over 5,000 times a day, touching it, scrolling it, tapping, liking, picking it up over 150 times a day. Here's where this is all going. This is your average day in 2007. So they've done all this research on people. In 2007, our days haven't changed. There's still 24 hours. You sleep about 8. You go to class or work or study about 9. Most of you is probably less than that. 3 hours of survival activities, so eating, getting ready, taking a shower, that kind of thing. And then that leaves 4 hours of your personal time. And so here's why that's important. Those 4 hours, in a lot of ways, make you who you are. I mean, that's the time that you have to invest deeply in relationships, with your friends, with your family. That's the time that you have to go deep with your relationship with God. That's the time that you can really invest in ministry and sharing the gospel with people. And so the way we use that time is significant. Our time matters to God. In 2007, here's what it looked like on our phones. Just 30 minutes or so. I mean, if you think about it, no one was like walking over to their home phone and like picking it up and just looking at it. You know, that would be weird. But in 2007, the iPhone came out. In 2015, here's what had happened. It had gone up to 2 to 2.5 hours a day on our phones. In 2017, the last time I looked at the study, 2.5, 3, up to 8 hours. And you're like, wait, where is that coming from? We're stealing it away from sleep, from class, from study, from survival. That's one of the biggest things that companies are fighting now is how do we keep our employees off their devices because they're stealing away hours from the company. And so, man, we want to be wise in the way that we use it. The psalmist says this. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And teach us, God, to number our days. And here's the stat that killed me. Here's the stat that got me interested in this topic and what made me start to make changes in my life is that it said if we continue at this same pace and we live till we're 80 years old, then we are going to spend, you and I, we're going to spend somewhere between 9 and 19 years of our lives on our phone. That was the stat that got me. I was like, I don't want to spend 19 years. I mean, you know what you could do with 19 years of your life back? And teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to do what God says. We're going to try to be very careful. We're going to look at the reasons that we instinctively reach for our phones. We're going to try to make the most of every opportunity. The impact of what it's doing, is it helping, is it hurting us? And we're going to try to be wise. I'm going to give you guys some specific things that you can do to try to be proactive. So that's what we're going to do together. Here's our first step. We've got to be careful. The reason we instinctively reach for our phone is because it's a trap. It is. They have tricked us. And we have bought in hook, line, and sinker. A former Google executive, he used this analogy. He said, your phone is like a slot machine. That was the best thing that he could possibly compare the phone to. That every color, every vibration, every sound has been specifically studied and analyzed by psychologists, by marketers, trying to figure out what can we do to hook people as much as possible. And they've studied it, they've done research, and that's how they've come up with this. And he says it's a slot machine, because if you think about a slot machine, you ask any casino, It's the highest grossing game in any casino. Why? Because it takes a small investment, but you have the hope of a big return. So you can play penny slots. You put a penny in, you pull the lever, all the lights go off, all the sounds, you know, the wheels are spinning, and you're sitting there like hoping this could be the moment, this could be when I win, when I get the jackpot, and then nothing happens. But it was a small investment, so you can do it again. You pull the lever and it goes again. Our phone's the same way. We check our phone on average every 4 minutes. I just got two text messages right here. Every 4 minutes, I just got another one. Every 4 minutes we check our phone and it's like, hey, maybe this is my wife. Maybe this is a picture of my kids. You know, maybe it's something interesting. Maybe it's an email back from an internship that you applied for. You know, there's this hope that you're gonna get this return. How do we consume as much of your time as possible? See, in the past, companies competed for our money. That's how they got us. Now they compete for our time. Netflix says their biggest competitor is sleep. It's their biggest competitor. That's why the next episode auto plays. You know, you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I need to go to bed. It's like 5, 4, 3, you have 2, 1. Oh, I may as well watch the next episode. You know, it's like over and over. Facebook, Instagram have feeds. Have you ever gotten to the bottom? Of course not. They're going to keep throwing content at you that keep you on there forever and ever. The snap streaks they started. It's how can we consume as much of your time as possible? They understand what's going on inside of us, and they're taking advantage. So here's the reasons why we reach for our phones, what they're taking advantage in us. The first one is insecurity. They know that as human beings, we have an innate insecurity about ourselves. I'm sitting at a restaurant the other day waiting for a friend to come meet me for lunch. And I'm just sitting there and people are walking by and I'm kind of insecure. I'm like, if I'm just sitting here, they're going to think I'm a loser. Like, I need to be doing something. So I get on my phone and it's like, oh, now I'm socially acceptable because I'm probably doing nothing on my phone, but it looks like I'm doing something. We're insecure, and they're feeding off of that. The other one is we just want to avoid boredom. Think of all the little moments in your day, just standing at the elevator waiting, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're using the restroom, all these different moments. We want to avoid the boredom because boredom equals pain. Boredom is pain in our lives, and so we want to do whatever we can to avoid that pain. And so they've tried to help us associate our phones with relief, that we can experience a little bit of relief from boredom. I want to tell you why that's a problem. So here's a philosopher. You guys have to listen to this. This is what he wrote. He said this about us. What are we really avoiding? He said this. He said, we run away like conscientious little bugs, scared rabbits, dancing attendants on our machines, our slaves, our masters, clicking, scrolling, tapping, liking, sharing, anything. We think we want peace and silence and freedom and leisure, but deep down, we know that this would be unendurable to us. In fact, we want to complexify our lives. We don't have to. We want to. We want to be hurried and hassled and busy unconsciously. We want the very thing that we complain about. And then he says this. He says, for if we had leisure, if we had freedom, if we had space in our lives, we would look at ourselves and listen to our hearts and see the great gaping hole in our hearts and be terrified because that hole is so big that nothing but God can fill it. You see what he's saying? He's saying, hey, if we have this moment of space or boredom in our lives, it forces us to evaluate what's going on. Who am I? Who is God? What is he like? What does my life count for? But if every time that we have a second of space, we fill it with something that distracts us, then we never have to confront the reality of who we are and who God is. It steals away from moments. But what if you did this? What if you started looking at those bored moments differently? What if boredom wasn't pain? What if boredom was actually space to experience God? What if boredom was room in your life to get to know God on a deeper level? What if boredom was the moment that you could hear God whisper? Like Craig talked about. What if that's what we're missing? We're constantly distracted. And so I think that'd be an amazing goal for 2020. You just said, hey, I want to be bored. You know, it's like you walk up, hey, what'd you learn at SMC? I'm going to try to be bored. That'd be an amazing goal. You could experience and connect with God. I think that's one reason we reach. The next one is just FOMO. That we're afraid that we're going to miss out on connection with our friends and with what's going on in the world. You know, if I'm getting messages, if I'm getting likes, it's confirmation that people are thinking about me. And if I'm not, maybe I'm missing out. But I saw this picture, and I feel like this kind of sums up the reality of our phone. So this was taken in Boston when a celebrity was getting out of his car, and all this crowd was watching the celebrity. You guys see it? And every single picture, or every single person in that picture, is trying to capture the moment. But there's one who's experiencing the moment, right? Like, there's peace on her face. Like, she's taking the moment in. I think we do that. We try to capture the moment, and we miss out on a lot. So here's what I want you guys to do. Just with the people around you, just discuss, hey, which of these three reasons do you think you reach for your phone instinctively? So talk about that for a second. Yeah. So I think these are the main reasons why we reach for our phone. So we want to be careful. We also want to make the most of every opportunity. So is this thing, is it helping us or is it hurting us? That's what we want to evaluate. And so I wanted to show you just from all the research, there's several books that have come out over the last couple of years just studying what our phones are doing to us. And here's what we're learning. It's making us addicted to distraction. So this shouldn't surprise us by now, but our phone is operating in the same way that drugs or alcohol operate inside our brain. There's these, he mentioned it in the video, these dopamine chemical releases that are happening every time your phone buzzes or vibrates or beeps or whatever. So how many of you guys have ever felt your phone, if you're a guy probably, or I don't know where girls keep their phone, but if you felt it vibrate, you reached for it, and there was nothing. Does that happen? Okay, most of you. So what that is, it's a phantom vibration, right? What that is, it's your brain longing for another hit of dopamine. So you're having a withdrawal symptom. And so it vibrates because your brain is craving another hit. And so you feel it even though nothing actually happens. So this psychologist, she wrote a book called The Power of Off. And she came up with this evaluation tool. So go through these with me again. Just count the number of yeses as you go through on your own. So do you want to cut down on your device use, but you can't? Do you feel negative emotions such as agitation, irritation, depression, anger, exasperation, boredom when you can't use your device? Have real-world activities such as hobbies, sports, reading, etc. decreased as a result of your time spent online? Has your time online negatively impacted your job or your education? Have your social relationships in the real world diminished or suffered as a result of your online behavior? A couple more. Has your physical and emotional health suffered because of your technology use? Examples, loss of sleep, decrease in exercise, eye strain, finger twitching. Thing. Anxiety, stress, exhaustion, and the like. Do we ever feel guilty, uncomfortable, or otherwise bad about the amount of time you spend on your devices? You guys should have seen your faces when I put the screen time slide up there. Do you ever use your work as an excuse to be online? Do you ever lie about your online use? Do you crave a more meaningful life and believe that technology may get in the way of it? Okay, you got your answers out of 10. Here's what she says. This is a clinical psychologist. She says, if you answered yes to one of them, you may be addicted. If you answered yes to 2 to 3, you have a phone or media addiction. And if you answered yes to 4 or more, then you have a major addiction. That's what she's saying. I don't know how you guys answered, but for me, that was convicting. That's why I wanted to lead this break. And so what do we do? What's happening when this takes place? So here's why I think it's making us addicted. One is because it makes the artificial seem greater than the real. Think about it. When Edison invented the light bulb, amazing invention, right? It's an artificial light. It lights up our cities. It lights up this room. Like, we're able to do a ton of amazing things. But what it also does in a city like Oklahoma City or Dallas, where I live, is you go outside at night, and you know what you can't see? You can't see the stars. You can't see something like this that was taken at Big Ben. Because the artificial has drowned out the real. You taste a juicy strawberry. You know, you take a bite of the strawberry, it tastes amazing. But what if you take a bite of the Snickers bar and then a bite of the same strawberry? It's just not the same. It has drowned out the reality of that sweetness. And I think that's what it does in our relationship with God, is it elevates all these artificial relationships, artificial likes, artificial connection at the expense of real face-to-face connection or a real connection with God. That's a big one why I think that happens. The other one is it makes the material feel greater than the eternal. You know, believers, Christians, we're called to be the most focused people on earth. Colossians 3:2 says we're to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. But what our phone can do to us is, man, it can take our mind and our focus off of the eternal and bring it down to the material, to the world that we live in. It's distracting. Douglas Gruthu said this. He said, it's difficult to serve God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength when you're diverted and distracted and multitasking everything. The other one's this. I think it makes the urgent feel greater than the important. And you know, we even see this in the Bible. There's the story of Mary and Martha, which I think I put it on there. Yeah. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically, Jesus comes in. They're throwing a dinner. And Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet. But her sister Martha, it says, is distracted with much serving. So she's not doing anything bad, but she just gets distracted. And she comes to Jesus. She's like, Jesus, come on, can't you tell my sister to help me? And he looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha. Which, hint, if Jesus ever says your name twice, it's not good. You're about to get corrected. And so he says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary's chosen what is better. And I think our phone can do the same way. It's not necessarily bad, but it can distract us from the most important things in our life. Tim Keller, he says this. He says, everybody I talk to seems so busy, and they're communicating incessantly around the clock, that I do think there is more and more prayerlessness. There's less time where people go into a solitary place and pray. I am sure that we are more prayerless than we have been in the past. Why? Because, he says, it's easier to post than to pray. It's making us addicted to distraction. Here's the other thing. It's making you dumber. This is the reality. It is making us dumber as a society. The Google effect. Has anyone heard this or studied it in class? A couple. Haley has. Good job, Haley. The Google effect. So here's what it is. When there's things that are online that you automatically don't have to remember, it decreases your memory. So for example, how many of you know your friends' phone numbers by memory? You're like, why would I need, a couple of you do. There you go. So why would I need to know that? I could just look it up on my phone. Or how many of you could drive home from this conference to your house without a map? A couple of you are like, I live in the city. But what the point is, what makes it better, we don't have to remember things that are automatically online. So it loses our focus. But here's the thing. When they've done studies on our focus, here's what they figured out. Every time you check this device, you lose focus for 23 minutes. Every time. It doesn't matter if you look at it for 10 seconds, or what can happen is, you know, you get a text, or you get a group message, you get on there, oh, it's a link to a video, I click on that, YouTube, another video you might like, I click on that, you know, and all of a sudden 23 minutes have gone by. That's not exactly what it's talking about. What it means is our brains can get in this state of focus where we're studying, say you're studying for a test. When you get the vibration on your phone, you look at it, you put it away. Well, subconsciously, in your brain, there's things going on that distract you, and you can't get into that same level of intense focus for 23 minutes. But here's what happens. We check our phone every 4 minutes. so you never get in that state of focus ever again. This is huge for your study. If you're ever going to go study for a test, put your phone on airplane mode or don't take it, and you can get in more focus. But even more importantly, and think about your relationship with God. And every time you try to focus in on Him, you're being distracted. But wait, maybe think of Exodus 33, I think it's verse 11, where it says God used to speak to Moses face to face as if he was with his own friend. I'm like, what if Moses would have had a phone? The distraction of that would have been, it cost him this connection, this relationship with God. And the last thing, it's promoting loneliness and anxiety. This is what it's doing to us. All these studies showing this direct correlation between the time spent on our device and anxiety in our life. We know it causes a loss of sleep, you know, the blue light at night. That's why they say don't look at your phone 30 minutes before you go to bed, because it causes loss of sleep. But it's also affecting our brain. Whenever we're on our phone, we're distracted. Whenever we're not on our phone, we think we're missing something. And so it's just this cycle that continues over and over. The other thing I think it does is it promotes loneliness, because it robs us of real connection with each other. So psychologists have studied this, that if you're having a conversation with your friend, say you go to lunch with them, you sit down, it takes, on average, 7 minutes for your conversation to go to a deeper level. 7 minutes. And so if you're distracted or one of you checks your phone, it robs you of that real connection. I got a text from a friend of mine over Christmas. I just asked him how Christmas went. And what he sent me was just, it struck me. So I want to read you just what he said. He said this. He said, Christmas was okay. Sometimes I have a bit expectations that are a bit unrealistic. He said, I am interested in your topic for the conference breakout. He knew I was leading this. He said, I'm learning that the cell phone is not only robbing one's relationship with God, but it's becoming a great barrier to family relationships within a family. Here's what he said. He said, my son and his wife as well, has my grandchildren, his grandkids. He says, we're continually on their cell phone at the expense of talking with us, asking about us, letting us know what they are doing, sharing of their hearts regarding spiritual and relational feelings and thoughts. He said, I believe most, they would say they have faith in God, but I really question the depth of the personal relationship with Him. I know when I put my son, listen to this, I know when I put my son on the plane, I felt empty inside. Like, he was here, but for what? I just wanted to talk with him. I wanted to know what he was doing. I wanted him to be interested in me, to know what I was thinking. I wanted a relationship in and from him rather than see him preoccupied with an impersonal device, a diversion of information. And then he said this. He said, I wonder if God feels the same way. And I wonder if God's wanting this connection with us. He's wanting to have a real relationship with us. But he looks down, he's trying to get our attention, and what he sees is us stuck over and over like this. And I think it's promoting loneliness and unhappiness. So real quick, I took some pictures. There you go. This is my family I saw at dinner. Blue light on the kid's face, mom on her phone, sister on her phone. Look at the middle. Charging device they brought. Took this picture in here, so. Hey, talk about this. Which of the three do you feel like it's doing to you the most? All right, hey, bring it back in. So, at this point, you're like, all right, you beat this horse. Like, this is, phones are terrible, right? No, I actually think they can be an amazing tool if we're proactive in how we use them. I have a Bible app on here that I use. I've been taking notes in our main sessions on Evernote. I have commentaries that I study the Bible. I think it can be an incredible tool, but we've got to filter it through what is helpful for us. So here's how we can be wise and be proactive. The distractions have always been a thing. You know, this is nothing new. People were distracted with newspapers, apparently, back in the day, not connecting with each other. It's the same thing for us. We just have to be wise about it. So the questions I want you guys to think through is this beneficial? So whatever that specific thing that you're doing on your phone, is it beneficial? Paul says, hey, I have the right to do anything. But not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive in my life. So what you're doing with your phone, is it helping you in your faith? Or is it hurting you in your faith? Is it helping you in your relationships? Or is it hurting you in your relationships? And the next one, does it help or hinder? Along the same lines. So the writer of Hebrews, he says not only to throw off everything, or not only to throw off sin, that so easily entangles, but to throw off everything that hinders us. And so the phone, there's things on your phone that aren't necessarily sin or bad, but if they hinder you, then as a disciple, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility to be proactive and to throw off things that hinder us. So here's a couple of things that I wanted to give you just to be proactive and tips to start. These are the things that I did that when I first started growing in this. And I'll just be honest with you. This was a 2-year-ago thing for me that I've been processing and working in. I've gone back to where I was and gotten better. And so, but I'm trying, continually trying to work on this. The first thing I did was I downloaded this app called Moment, and I did this 14-day boot camp. So here's this app. It'll track all your phone uses the same way Screen Time does, but you can sign up for this boot camp, and every day it'll tell you something to do. So like one day you have to sleep with your phone, not by your bed, which I still do to this day, and that's probably one of the best changes I made, is it's just not the very last thing I see, and it's not when I go to bed, it's not the very first thing I see in the morning. I talked to JP and to Robbie, both speakers, while they were here, and they both have kind of principles that they've set for their life. So Robbie, his is word before weights. That he says, hey, I'm going to get in the word before I go work out, which apparently gets in the word a lot because he works out. And so word before weights. I talked to JP. JP said Bible before breakfast. Bible before breakfast. He's just going to commit to get in the word before he eats every day. So I thought, for me, I want it to be faith before phone. That I want to get in the word. I want to spend time in the Bible before I get on my phone in the morning. Maybe that's your application. That'd be amazing. So the Moment app is going to help you do things like that. It'll give you a different activity to do every day. The other thing is clean up your home screen. So here was my home screen when I started. When I opened my phone, this is what I would see. All these red badges on there. It's like anxiety producing. This is what it does. It's like, hey, I have 280 things to do in my entertainment folder. But those are just podcasts or whatever I'm never going to listen to. And so what Moment helps you do is it helps you clean up all that. And so here's my home screen on the left today. So my home screen on the left, and then on the right is the second page where I've put all my apps in different folders. I have a few at the top that I use more. But on the front page, when I open it up, I only want things on there that I actually need or use a lot. So I use GroupMe to communicate with a lot of our students and stuff. But man, look at that. It's like, I feel better already, you know? And so that's a huge thing that you can do, is to clean up your home screen. But here's the other thing I did, and this is the one that will make you mad. Go Grayscale. So I know, you guys are mad already. I do this for a couple days, like you will hate your phone. It's just not interesting, and you will Instagram dies if you do this. So here's how you can do it. I'll show you. You go to settings. You go to accessibility. You click display and text. You click color filters, and it goes grayscale. So you guys can do that. You can take a picture of that on the screen if you want. Just something that you guys can try. So I've been trying it. I asked Levi to hold me accountable. Sometimes I go back. But I try to keep that more. I've been trying to do that lately, and it's been good for me just in being on there less. So you guys can take a picture of that and do that later. Next one is stop sleeping with your phone next to you. I just said that was a huge change for me. And spend time with God before you get on your phone. So faith before phone. Commit to put the phone away at meals with friends. I think just the loneliness and anxiety that we're experiencing. What if you and your friends just said, hey, for the rest of SMC, we go to dinner tonight, we're going to put our phones away and not look at them. And then get accountability. And so now you can set a bunch of app limits. I've been talking to some guys that have done this. They've actually set limits on the amount of time they can spend on social media apps or different ones. And you can do all that with the screen time. But the key is you have to have accountability, because if you know your code, the screen time's going to come up, oh, you've exceeded your limit, and then you just type in your code, extended limit. You got to have help, and so make sure you do that. Try it for a couple weeks, and then schedule phone fast. So this is something that I actually haven't done yet, but something that I read in one of the books, and I was like, man, I think that would be an amazing idea. It's just, there's a guy, he does 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year that he puts his phone away and doesn't do it. So he does it at dinner times with his family. Maybe you try that as an application. So, hey, talk for a second. with the people around you. Which of these applications do you want to try? So go ahead and talk to those. All right. Hey, hope you guys can walk away with one. I just wanted to tell you about another resource. So I started posting articles or resources for you guys to help do some of these things. So I've done one on how to have conversations with your family. And so over the month of January, I've been posting, or I'm going to post, different habits that I'm starting in my life, like getting in the Word and goals I'm trying to set in my prayer life, and things like that. So I'd love for you guys to hop on. You can click subscribe. It's blakechrisman.com. You can follow along with us. I would love for you guys to get those resources and do it with us. So I was just thinking, man, what if we could do what God says in Ephesians 5? And what if we could live the wise, careful, opportunistic life? If we could do that, and it made me think of the scripture where Paul prays this for the Philippians. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." And what if that was became the life that we live? That prayer became true in us. Let me pray for us. God, I pray just that you would help us to discern what is best in the way that we use technology, the way we use our phone. I pray we would be able to do whatever it takes to be pure and blameless with our phones, and that you would make us wise. That would lead to more glory and praise for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. Hey, I owe someone a book, so come up here.